Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Has faced some pushback in the Senate with one senator calling him yesterday, Scott Yenner, one senator calling him a misogynist and a bigot.
Who said that?
I believe it was Senator Fine. Would you consider pulling
I stand behind the appointment of Scott Yenner. He has been a champion for the types of reforms at universities that we need, trying to drudge up statements and quite frankly, distorting things. I mean, he's been attacked for being a Zionist and being too pro-Israel. I think all these things are very flimsy. And let's just consider the source. I mean, that same senator called me anti-Semitic, okay? The guy that went and did a cabinet meeting in Jerusalem.
So Randy Fine, who's Jewish, rather famously Jewish, a member of the he ran for Congress, or he's running for Congress. That's right. He's in the state House, or the state Senate, excuse me. And that's who they're talking about. Scott Yenner being the person that is now the chair of the UWF Board of Governors, and of course was an appointment by Governor DeSantis, and has come for a lot of criticism for his expression of ideas about women's role in culture and the workforce and education. And then the governor, in answering this question to him the other day, says, look, I stand behind him. I mean, you know, he's been called anti-Semitic. I've been called anti-Semitic, which is the most particular legislator, Randy Fine, which is the most ridiculous thing. Yeah, those are fair responses. Also, though, just because Randy Fine says one dumb thing doesn't mean everything he says is dumb. You know, when you're indicting a source, yes, it's useful to show that sometimes what they say is inaccurate, but that doesn't mean that what they're saying about this particular case is inaccurate. You know how he's slid away from the issue of the women's issues, which has been the bulk of the criticism, into the issue of, you know, anti-Semitism, which I don't think has really been the bulk of the criticism. So that's a kind of it's a double soft fallacy, we'll call it, okay? Neither one of those is a particularly great logical move. And then he goes on.
But if you want to see the University of West Florida thrive, and I mean, look, if you look under the hood.
By the way, that's a weird way to say it. Why? UWF is not struggling. UWF is doing great. You know, and so the notion that somehow if you really want to see UWF do well, right now, you know, it's good. And so it's not a broken thing that needs fixing, but that way of saying it seems to imply that. Anyway, sorry, back to the governor's comments.
But if you want to see the University of West Florida thrive, and I mean, look, if you look under the hood of that university, they're doing things like gender ideology. They're doing the type of stuff that should not be done at any universities in Florida, but particularly in the most conservative part of the state.
And I actually agree with that. There are, as I said before, we've talked about this, some cultural issues. It's definitely not the repository of conservative culture. You know, in the classroom may not be quite as relevant an issue, but in the culture around campus, I would agree with that criticism. People are often from here kind of surprised, you know, because we have a very conservative area. Although, in fairness, Pensacola as a city leans much farther to the left than the area around in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. But yeah, UWF cultural-wise is not the most conservative place, but still, should that be a relevant factor? Well, he goes on.
So I think Scott will be somebody that'll be a champion for the classical mission of a university. He will fight the indoctrination and will really be part of the solution going forward. I'm not somebody that's just going to let someone be out there and be unfairly maligned.
Yeah, I don't know that he's been maligned so much as quoted. And, you know, for people to bring up the stuff for the past is part of the point of checking out somebody's qualifications. And especially for somebody who's not from here, which, you know, is a concern as well.
I told some senators, just talk to them. Bring them in. Interview them. Like, you have an important role. If you honestly see something, then that's one thing. But to go off innuendo and some of this stuff, I don't think is good. So, yeah, no, we stand behind the appointment 100%, and look forward to him being able to talk to the members of the Florida Senate.
Again, it's not innuendo, it's quotes. Now, he might be misinterpreted. There's not a lot of charity given to the things that he said. I agree with that. And he's right also that if you're a senator and you're thinking about the confirmation, you want to bring him in and talk to him. Agreed, that's true. Even though he is sitting as the chairman of the board, he still has to be, or the president of the board, whatever, he still has to be confirmed by the Senate officially. It's kind of an odd situation where you get to serve before you've been confirmed, but there it is. So, yeah, this is an ongoing controversy. The governor's not backing down, which has kind of been his dig-in-his-heels approach more recently. But that did come up, and it's certainly relevant to us here in Pensacola who love UWF. I mean, I have a kid there now and a kid who just graduated there. Coming up next, the Transgressions Memorial Service. Find out why domestic is not an acceptable word anymore. John Pickens, it won't be the reason you think, by the way. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Oh, boy. Brian, let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays at the intersection of 9 Mile and Highway 29 going east and westbound. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in Monday morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Groundhog Day, or more specifically, the cruel, exploitative, and speciesist spectacle of using a poor, defenseless groundhog as a weather-predicting toy for human entertainment. That's right, the brave thought leaders of the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals recently sent a sternly worded missive to the president of the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, begging the top-hatted and bearded old men of Gobbler's Knob to abandon their 139-year-old tradition and come into the brave new world of animal liberation by simply leaving Phil alone on February 2nd, 2026, and beyond. As Ingrid Newkirk, PETA president, or minister of first among equals, as they like to call her, wrote, "Groundhogs are shy prey animals who, when allowed, actively avoid humans. Yet year after year, Phil is transported to Gobbler's Knob, whisked on a stage, and subjected to a noisy announcer, screaming crowds and flashing lights against all his natural instincts. As the one who is more than equal than others, all this nonsense and abuse just to make Phil the town's once-a-year fake meteorologist is a terrible abuse of human power. But PETA understands that the people want a spectacle, so they propose using a weather reveal cake instead of mistreating the poor Marmota Monax in its ridiculous display of wintry tomfoolery. Instead of pretending the flat furry rodent cares about his shadow, PETA suggests a vegan cake with either a blue interior for six more weeks of winter or pink indicating an early spring. As Newkirk writes, quote, more and more people realize that every animal is an individual with their own interests, needs, and personalities, as well as being able to feel pain, fear, joy, and love. And she urges the bearded ones to treat Phil with this love as the individual he is instead of using him as a fake furry frozen precipitation prognosticator. And while we're at it, wouldn't it be nice if we'd stop not only imposing our human need for spectacle upon him, but also start calling him by his actual name, which of course is not Phil. Nor is there any correct name in the completely fabricated and imaginary language of groundhog ease. Instead, Phil's actual name in the native tongue of the Western Pennsylvania woodchuck is actually click click wooster clink knack knack. Forgive my heavy southern accent, I only recently began speaking the language. So let us all stop pretending that there is anything civilized about disturbing a poor groundhog by banging on his fake tree home with an acacia stick and then holding him aloft like some primitive animal sacrifice or single-handed trophy. Let us put away our tuxedos, top hats, and suspension of disbelief about the age of Phil and his shadow-detecting prowess. Let us instead honor the poor squirrel cousin and slice open a weather reveal cake for kindness, justice, and Pennsylvania love. Unshackle the groundhog and let the equality of the animal kingdom guide us. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the term domestic beer for brands such as Coors, Miller, Michelob, and Budweiser. In case you've not heard, Brendan Whitworth, the man with the whitest name in North America, and chief executive officer of Anheuser-Busch, makers of Bud Light, the winner of the 2023 award for most inclusive adult beverage, for its catastrophically costly outreach campaign involving transgender superstar Dylan Mulvaney, recently announced to its distributors and partners a campaign to replace the term domestic beer with the term American beer. Recognizing that the long-standing words domestic and import for beer types makes beers with German, Dutch, Australian, Mexican, and even Canadian provenance sound slightly exotic, while also making American beer sound dull and mundane in contrast, Whitworth, in his letter entitled A Call for American Beers, encouraged marketing experts to instead use the term American for the beers of the good old USA. As he wrote, America is not necessarily an incorrect adjective to use, it just doesn't fully capture the spirit and passion that's so intrinsic to the American beer industry and its brands, and falls short of capturing the pride we should all take in products made right here in this great country. Now, yes, dear Otherin, normally we would oppose anything that promotes this nation or even vaguely feels patriotic. And although we are uncomfortable with the effort to elevate anything American over anything global in general, we celebrate this move precisely because it is the changing of language for the sake of the changing of language, which we always embrace. Making people unlearn time-tested words and memorize new terminology is the seventh sacrament of our order, even when it's being done to elevate one kind of mediocre beer over another. It's worth supporting. Also, we should note that Anheuser-Busch did stop short of requesting marketers shift away from using the term import for non-American beers, a choice we assume was deliberate. After all, they could have requested people start using derogatory terms such as foreign beer or non-native beer or even immigrant beer, which for obvious reasons we would not have accepted. Now, to us, it seems as if the makers of the King of Beers Budweiser and the second cousin twice removed of beers Bud Light are simply trying anything they can to recover from the losses they suffered in 2023. So raise a glass of American beer. Celebrate your Yuengling, your Sam Adams, your Pabst Blue Ribbon, your Keystone, or even your Natty Light, if you must, and never ask for a domestic beer again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to offer our most sincere praise for the legislature of the great state of Washington, and especially Representatives Strom Peterson, Julia Reed, and Greg Nance, for introducing a bill calling for a comprehensive redesign of the state flag, specifically to remove the picture of President George Washington from the flag of the state of Washington. As the bill observes, the flag features a detailed portrait of George Washington, making it overly complex and difficult to reproduce, which is a violation of key flag design principles that prioritize simplicity. Additionally, while George Washington is an important national figure, he has limited historical connection to the state itself. This makes his image less meaningful as a symbol for the state. End quote. We stand here in non-silent but gushing awe of the boldness of the leaders of Washington for openly calling to abandon the namesake himself as a picture on their flag, which, in case you're not familiar, is basically old George's face in a blue and yellow circle on a green background. Now, although nothing in the bill officially refers to the various immoralities and unacceptabilities associated with George Washington himself, we assume canceling him is a key motive behind the bill. They don't call it the People's Republic of Washington because it's overly fond of the Founding Fathers, after all. The only small criticism we have for these legislators is that they really should have gone all the way in advocating for a full separation from the racism and slave-owning legacy of the first president by calling to change the name of Washington State entirely, which, of course, would also have entailed redesigning the flag. Moreover, they've been really devoted to our cause of historical holy revisionism, and they could have called on Congress to name the U.S. Capitol something other than Washington, D.C., to abandon the imprint on the quarter, to redesign the $1 bill, and to demolish that horridly phallic monument protruding from the top of the National Mall. But baby steps are still worth recognizing. Meanwhile, if Washington State is going to de-Washingtonize their flag in a comprehensive and competitive design process, we have some suggestions for improvements. Of course, we always want to maximize inclusivity for all the people of the holy acronym string. And since we notice that not a single U.S. state has a rainbow on their flag, what a great opportunity to be the first LGBTQ2SIA square root of negative 5 inclusive state in the Union. They could literally become the first official state of the rainbow people. Now, if they want to emphasize something more focused on, say, economic justice rather than sexual justice, they could go with the traditional equality red of China and Russia, perhaps with a yellow hammer or sickle or bong for emphasis. Perhaps a black fist of protest for racial justice, but I digress. I'm sure once they rid themselves of the picture of the man for whom the state is named, they will surely find a wonderful pictographic representation of their core values to fly atop the dome in Olympia. So kudos to you, Washington State, for being as anti-Washington as you can, for at least for now. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please feel free to pick up one of this week's Presidential Transition Denial Kits. Today's featured distraction from reality device is a President Joe Biden pull string doll, which declares classic Bidenisms such as, "I'm being serious. No joke. Come on, man. I'm Jill Biden's husband." And Corn Pop was a bad dude. These audio reminders of the glory days of the last 4 years are sure to make you feel seen and safe. This week's denial kits also include various bumper stickers with powerful phrases such as, "Don't blame me, I voted for her twice. I still believe in the Constitution, even if I've never read it," and my personal favorite, "Not my Gulf of America." We will have more reality-denying, wounded-feelings-affirming swag for you again next week, I promise. Only 47 months to go, my friends.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
John Pickens has traffic for you.
Your groundhog speak is getting better.
Thank you. I've been working on my pronunciation. The accent's a bit heavy still.
Yeah, still, but I'm giving you credit for it. Traffic's brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good if you're traveling from downtown Milton into East Milton, right there in front of East Milton Elementary School. That's the only delays I'm seeing right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Second cousin twice removed of beers, Bud Light. Steve Taylor is in the newsroom with our headline. Steve?
Well, Israel's military says one of the four bodies handed over by Hamas yesterday was not a hostage. The bodies released included a four-year-old child, a nine-month-old baby, but the third body was supposed to be the mother, but forensic experts say it's not her. The Israeli Defense Forces are calling it a very serious violation. U.S. is reportedly refusing to co-sponsor a U.N. resolution backing Ukraine 3 years after the Russia's invasion. The resolution is backing Ukraine's territorial sovereignty and demands Moscow withdraw the troops. And the U.S. is also objecting to part of a group of seven nation statement planned for next week that condemns Russian aggression. The refusals highlight the growing rift between Ukraine and the U.S. since President Trump took office. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. And just a reminder, in case you're unfamiliar, I don't make these things up. They are actually things that are being proposed in the world. Hey, if you've got a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound on the wall, or when you flush the toilet, turn on the faucet, get that fixed with flat rate pricing by the job, not by the time it takes, so you know in advance what the price is going to be. No questions, no surprises. Barberry Plumbing, 477-8782.
Chris Foster, Israel's prime minister says Hamas will pay for not returning Sherry Bibas along with the remains of three other hostages, including her young sons. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu.
In an indescribably cynical way, they did not return Sherry to the side of her little children, the little angels, and they put the body of a Gazan woman in the coffin.
Hamas's human remains were mixed after an Israeli...
Senate's budget blueprint focuses on the border, energy, and the military. They want to focus on tax cuts in a second bill. Democrats try to make the process as painful as possible for Republicans by forcing them to take tough votes on a number of amendments, including on Medicaid. But in the end, all they...
And then fiberglass on top of it, it burns hot and fast. It just makes a mess.
Fire crews were called to the business on Navy Boulevard in Warrington just after 6 p.m. on Monday afternoon. While nobody was hurt, the two-alarm fire caused millions of dollars in damage.
It was a red iron building with sheet metal skin, and it had to get really hot to warp that red iron and drop the ceiling on the boats and everything in there. Wow. So, yeah, it does. Things like that really inhibit us from actually getting in there to the source of the fire and doing a quick knockdown on it.
Nine boats were inside that building when the fire erupted, but now they're all a total loss. Other boats on the property were also damaged. It could become easier to monitor how your loved one is being treated at their nursing home. A Florida House subcommittee voted yesterday to require nursing homes and assisted living facilities to allow some residents there to have cameras in their rooms. Some homes already allow those cameras to be in the rooms, but HB 223 would force them force all of them to have cameras in the rooms. The bill also covers audio recording devices. Supporters say this will ensure we're protecting our most vulnerable residents. The nursing home industry opposes the bill, though. A representative told lawmakers it would violate the privacy of residents and caregivers. Let's check that forecast for the weekend from Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a very cold start to the day with temperatures in the 20s, warming up in the afternoon near 50 degrees for your high, sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38. Going into Saturday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 58 degrees. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 40 degrees. Going into Sunday, mostly sunny skies with a high near 60 degrees. Small chance of rain as we go into late Sunday with a 20% overall. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. Right now, let's check in with John Pickens for traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still no accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays as you're going from downtown Milton to East Milton through that 98. It's just some minor slowdowns. Nothing really through that construction zone just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound. Just minor delays there. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks, John. Right now, 28 degrees in Pensacola, 29 in Gulf Breeze, and 29 also in Milton at 635. Next news is at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Ladies, do you want to feel more connected to our community? Consider joining Impact 100 Pensacola Bay Area, a woman's philanthropic group that has awarded 165 grants, totaling more than $17 million in our community. Connect with other women and increase your area impact. Membership deadline is March 1st. For details, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Every hour of every day, Fox News Radio is there with the latest breaking news and information you rely on.
This is a Fox News alert.
I'm Lisa Brady.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
With Fox News correspondents around the globe.
At the White House.
Ray Yingst in Kyiv.
On Capitol Hill, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The news that matters most to you. The top headlines, all in one place. America is listening to Fox News Radio.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I even made it here in time. It was only a few days ago that Lauren told me I was doing the monologue, and I was actually vacationing on a friend's boat down in the Gulf of Steve Martin, and I finally...
I know it was last weekend, it was Sunday, but did you catch the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live?
I did. I saw some really good clips from it.
How far into it did you watch?
I got through the first hour.
Okay. All right. So you saw the most of what was worth watching.
Yes.
After that was really not much worth watching. You saw the key thing. The two best parts really were the Steve Martin monologue and Black Jeopardy. And
That was amazing.
And everything else was really not much worth watching. Steve Martin was particularly funny. Should I say it? Sabrina Carpenter and Paul Simon. Paul Simon can play guitar like a genius. He should not be singing anymore.
Right.
I love Paul. I'm a dear fan, but no. And same for Paul McCartney. I mean, also, how does Paul McCartney still look like he's 40? Is he a robot? I don't understand. You know, maybe this has been a little work. Anyway, I honor them. I love them. But, okay. Because your voice ages. I mean, just like I don't want to watch a 70-year-old play football.
You don't?
No, because they might have been great when they were 25. But it's anyway, Steve Martin, back to the monologue.
Took me a while to get here, but I did. Now, Saturday Night Live, as you know, turned 50 years old this year, and I turned 79.
Almost old enough to be president.
But I feel like I'm 65, which is also not good.
I love, who was it, Chris Rock? Was he the one that said, and we're here to celebrate 50 years of Saturday Night Live, including 25 good years of Saturday Night Live?
A person born during the first season of Saturday Night Live could today be easily dead of natural causes. Now, you're going to see a lot of familiar things tonight. Musical guests, sketches, cameo appearances, the news, and this is the monologue. Traditionally, the weakest part of the show. Yes, the monologue is like a rent-controlled tenant. It's not going anywhere, even though it stinks.
Actually, the worst part of the show is After Update. In fact, they had a joke where they were medication for After Update stay awake pills, because everything that's After Update is the worst of the sketches.
And there's so many members of the SNL family here tonight. The great Bill Murray is here. And we wanted to make sure that Bill would be here tonight, so we didn't invite him.
Okay, and this joke, this might have been the funniest. Like, it's a visual gag, but I'll explain after why. It's really one of the sharpest satirical comments of the night.
And we can't forget the writers, who have always been the heart and soul of SNL. In fact, let's please have the great writers from the past 50 years stand up and take a bow.
And they cut to a picture of across the street outside where the writers are standing in a corral a la New Year's Eve at Times Square. It's pretty funny. But here's why I say that's one of the sharpest comments of the night. Because even as they make fun of how they're not really celebrating the writers, who are the key to SNL, it's the writers, right? Much more so than it is any of the actors. How many of the writers were being celebrated with their high-profile presence inside the auditorium? No, it was all the actors, because that's who you see. And that's like the eternal problem with being the writer, is nobody knows who you are, even though you're way more important than the actors, right, to the actual outcome of the show. I thought John Mulaney was pretty funny.
Writers really appreciated that tribute, but I believe that the heart and soul of this show is the celebrity hosts, many of whom are in this room tonight. You know, as I look around, I see some of the most difficult people I have ever met in my entire life. Over the course of 50 years, 894 people have hosted Saturday Night Live, and it amazes me that only two of them have committed murder.
All right, but, you know, the intro aside, the Black Jeopardy, oh, my God, Black Jeopardy was great. With, of course, and I don't want to explain it if you didn't watch it, but so you've got Leslie Jones, okay, Kenan Thompson's, of course, hosting, and then Leslie Jones, and then you have Tracy Morgan as somebody else, and then you have Eddie Murphy portraying Tracy Morgan. That was the winner for the night.
Good. Welcome to Black Jeopardy, the only Jeopardy where every single viewer fully understood Kendrick's halftime performance. I'm your host, Darnell Hayes. Today's contestants are Shanice.
Hey.
Darius.
Come on now.
Actual Tracy Morgan.
Hey, look at this. Tracy Morgan.
Big dog gonna make some big money.
Eddie Murphy is, I mean, he's a great impressionist, right? And he is a great Tracy Morgan impressionist.
Now, wait a minute, Tracy, don't you already have a lot of money?
Well, you gotta have a lot of money if you're gonna live like I live. I eat four cheese lasagna. If I only got three cheeses, I ain't eating it.
Yes, okay. We hear you, Tracy Morgan.
I refuse to ingest three cheeses.
Later on in the sketch, you know, his...
Darius and Tracy, y'all seem like y'all might be related.
Well, James Earl Jones is my biological father. James Earl Jones impregnated my mother on the set of Claudine on Edgecombe Avenue in Harlem. Now, you know what? I think we might be related.
I don't see it. You know what?
Actual Tracy Morgan's ass. Anyway, okay. So that sketch was great until the end.
Yes.
And in the end, for reasons that pass understanding, they brought in Tom Hanks to play white guy Trump supporter with a MAGA hat, Doug. And when Kenan Thompson goes to shake his hand, he kind of like recoils in fear, like the white Trump supporter doesn't want to touch the black guy, is scared of him.
Oh, thank you. Hey, now, speaking of church, can I say something? If more folks went to church, we wouldn't be in this mess we're in now.
You know what? I agree with you, Doug. I'd like to shake your hand, sir. Here we go.
No, it's just a handshake. Yeah, all right. You're welcome
at Black Jeopardy
anytime.
Yeah, all right. Well, thank you, my brother. You know, maybe I'll start a show for you to come on, and we'll call it What Jeopardy?
No. We don't need it. We don't need it.
You had the win. Quit when you're winning. Even Joy Behar said it was inappropriate as a racist slur against Trump supporters. And it wasn't. See, I don't mind if it's offensive. Comedy's offensive. It doesn't bother me. That's never. The issue is it funny? And it's just not funny. That's the problem. They made unfunny choices. They went on and, you know, I have a personal fondness for Cecily Strong, especially when she gets brought on to mispronounce words. She's so good in Update. Actually, we'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens got traffic on the five. Because there was a brilliant moment with Tom Hanks later on that I don't know if even they really grasped what they were saying about their own show, but it's really worth thinking about for a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. No accidents to report. Highway 90 is even looking good. Rolling through Pace into Pensacola. No accidents to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Hey, if you're looking for that next vehicle and you want a good one you can count on and drive for a long time, Frontier Motors specializes in gently used. You know, you're going to be like the second or third owner. It's going to have 10, 15, maybe 30,000, 40,000 miles on it. They're going to warranty it to 100,000 miles in 10 years. They're going to take care of you. And that's the whole point, is you go there with the confidence of buying new, even though it doesn't have that new car smell to it. But that's about all. I mean, great quality cars that you can drive for a long time. The kind of cars that Dave Ramsey recommends. I know we bought a Honda Odyssey there years ago and have loved it ever since, and they have been fabulous to us. I recommend them as a great selection of these cars, about 300 on the lot at any time. Go check out your next vehicle at Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Now, I didn't want to leave without giving a little bit of credit to Cecily Strong. I don't know how she's a very smart lady. I don't know how she mispronounces these words so blithely, just without, you know, even when I do transgressors and I have the ability to read it, like, because you don't have to see me perform it, I stumble over some of the, I don't know how she doesn't stumble over some of these word mispronunciations, because they're hilarious.
Well, there's a lot going on in the world right now, and here to tell us her thoughts on all of it is the girl you wish you hadn't started a conversation with at a party.
Great character.
You know, it's something different about me.
Oh, are you pregnant?
Wow. You just assume I'm pregnant just because I have a baby inside me. That's misogynistic.
Well, congratulations. We're so happy for you, and it's nice to see you.
Oh, is it nice, Michael? Yeah, is it nice to be on the verge of the apocalypse? It's devastating. It's a constipational crisis, literally, for me.
It's devastating.
I was like, do I even want to bring a baby into this world, or should I just, like, keep her in here for another 3.5 years?
I don't think you can do that.
Oh, I guess you know more than my OBGYN.
OBGYN?
Do our research, Michael. Fact, 90% of babies born today will never know who your father is.
Well, my father?
3 out of 4 kids get bullied, and only 2 of them deserve it.
What?
And there are people in Africa right now.
Well, that is
okay.
Yeah, there are people there now. You should know that, Michael. Read a phone. So how do you
read a phone? All right, I'll move on. The substantial part was later. I mean, Bill Murray doing the thing with the update was kind of funny, somewhat funny. I guess I'll give him this one line.
Let's just jump right in. In honor of Black History Month, I want to start by ranking the African American Weekend Update anchors.
There's only been one.
And we'll start with number one, and this is by default, Michael Chang.
Okay, all right. This is the part that was worth waiting for. This was the part towards the end where Tom Hanks comes out, and they're going to play all of the sketches over all the years that would all be canceled under today's standards because standards have changed. And they're going to explain under each one why it was inappropriate, even as they're sort of honoring it by playing it.
As we celebrate the achievements of the past 50 years, we must also take a moment to honor those who we've lost. Countless members of the SNL family taken from us too soon. I'm speaking, of course, about SNL characters and sketches that have aged horribly. But even though these characters, accents, and let's just call them ethnic wigs, were unquestionably in poor taste, you all laughed at them. So if anyone should be canceled, shouldn't it be you, the audience? Something to think about.
And then they play snippets from a whole bunch of things. It's not worth playing them. And then, as I said, they would explain why this was racist or misogynistic or, you know, ableist. And if you don't know that word, it means treating people as though normal human bodily function is normal. That even saying normal is itself ableist because you're saying that one way of having body function is different than, say, having bodily dysfunction or, you know, alternate abilities as opposed to disabilities. And so, yeah, anyway, you get the point. And then they go through all these sketches and you're remembering them and you're laughing. And that's the point. If you try to craft a comedy show around not offending, and when he says they're in poor taste, they were not in poor taste. They were in funny taste. And wanting funny taste to be proper, decent, even kind, is to misunderstand comedy. Now, I don't think they meant this as self-satire. I don't think they meant it. I mean, maybe they did. I don't think they meant it as a criticism of wokeness or cancel culture or the transgressive memorial service, which is what I'm doing every single week, the early and the late service. Late service comes up at 8:20. Or you can catch them on the podcast. But they were essentially saying if we were to have had restrictions, we would not have had all of this funny. And that's the point. You can either have safe, uncontroversial, inoffensive things, or you can have Dave Chappelle. But you can't have them both. I want a world of Dave Chappelle. I want a world of Saturday Night Live that has characters in blackface and, you know, Jewish accents and making fun of women and white people and all of it, all fair game. And if it's not funny, that's one thing. But the reason it's funny is because there's truth underneath it. So when you say, don't say the offensive thing, even when it's funny, what you're really saying is don't say true things. Don't you dare say things that might be true. Now, of course, the problem is sometimes those things are also untrue. They perpetuate false stereotypes or misunderstandings. But I think that we're savvy enough to be able to judge that and to decide whether we want to reward the funny lie or we want to reward only the funny truth and we want to protect people in saying the funny truth. 653 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
What do you want in a job? What if this job had great benefits and uncapped income? What if this job was right here in town, working for award-winning radio stations? What if this job had an opening right now as a marketing consultant working with local businesses? What if this job you occasionally get to listen to one of country music's rising stars or meet a famous TV star or athlete in the office? If you're looking for a job like this and have sales experience, then hurry up and send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30. with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nothing's difficult.
Everything's a challenge.
Through adversity to the stars.
From the last plane to the last bullet to the last minute to the last man, we fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
We fight.
Oh, that movie's so good. Just recently rewatched that, Red Tails. Oh, it's so good. About the airmen.
Yeah.
You know, the first time they allowed black pilots to be able to actually engage in combat instead of sending them on these silly, you know, missions to guard things that didn't matter. That was such a, I mean, it's an amazing historical story. And, of course, the movie is a good depiction of it. Relevant, since we're talking about Chappie James. I mean, he wasn't a Red Tail, but, you know, maybe he was. Gosh, now I could be wrong about that. I'm just thinking about the age of how things all happened and what date he was in the service. I guess he was not, I would think. But anyway, because he's not old enough. 656, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly this morning. Not seeing any delays, not even on 98 eastbound, headed toward Windhaven Beach, is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. Were you the one who was telling me that some news sources are claiming that Trump is going to give us a $5,000 refund on the Doge thing?
Yes.
Why?
Who says that?
Who says that? Did Trump say that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And I know he $5,000
times 300 million people.
Yeah, no,
just rough. Like $1.5 trillion. That's not even what Doge is ever going to find, let alone be 20%. He's not. President Trump often says things which are true. He rarely says things which are factual. That's what you know, like, numbers are not even close ever what he's talking about. But it doesn't mean what he's saying doesn't have truth in it. Just, it's not a journalist, I keep saying. Anyway, Steve Taylor's in the newsroom with our headlines. Steve?
The Senate's adopting a budget resolution after pulling an all-nighter to vote on all the amendments tacked on by the Democrats who are against it. The vote was 52-48 along the party lines. The resolution clears the path for Republicans to pass $340 billion in funding, including $175 billion for border spending and immigration enforcement. A federal judge is ordering the Trump administration to comply with an order to unfreeze foreign aid. The U.S. District Judge issued the order yesterday, but did not hold the administration in contempt for skirting that directive. The administration claims the order gave them legal room to leave funding frozen while they review the contracts one by one. Six elephants are dead after a passenger train smashed into a herd in Sri Lanka yesterday. No passengers on the train are hurt, but the train derailed, but two elephants were in the area. They were hit by the train, and they're being treated for injuries. Like to see the ambulance for that. Local media reports about 20 of the animals are killed by trains each year in the island nation, which boasts a population of 7,000 wild elephants. And that's what's happening.
All right. Thanks so much, Steve. 659 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up, we're going to talk about some of the things that President Trump has said this week regarding Ukraine. Very interesting stuff that we hadn't really had a chance to get into too much. Plus, the Chappie James Memorial. I told you yesterday that had been actually the money, the $750,000 that the TDC had previously recommended. They had actually clawed that back. What did the county commission do yesterday? We will talk about that. And there actually might be new life in the OLFA conversation. Listen.